Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
In God's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone in authority over this universe. All that we know and all that we see and all that's unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of everything. Khalaqa kulli shay'in. Allah talks about this in our scripture, that he is the creator of everything. So we worship that Lord. And we say that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who the scripture was revealed to, the Quran, talking about the last revelation, is Allah's messenger, our prophet. And he brought that to our attention in a most clear way, even in the Shahadatan, where we make this statement to become Muslim, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is, there's no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger. This particular statement is very relevant to a person coming into Islam from other religious doctrines, where some in some other religious doctrines there's an idea that man can be God, that man can be the creator. And we can create, the human being can create, but only using the creation that Allah has created. We can put together some formulas in the creation and say, oh, I made this. But we have to take from Allah's creation. So that distinction is made very clearly, that between the creation and the creator. The creation and the creator. So we want to talk about following the best thereof today, and also following the leader. Following the leader. You know, this is one of the things Allah directs us, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey his messenger. He's speaking of Prophet Muhammad. And obey those who command authority, who has been given that ability to exercise authority among you. And normally the persons who are in charge of us are the people we choose. We choose our leaders, and in Al-Islam, that's the practice where the leader leads by consent. And you know, they use this terminology in our government. The leaders are there by the choice of the government. That's democracy, as we see it in Islam, has established democracy where we take shura, we choose our leader, we choose the person who's going to lead us based on his ability to do that, not to have someone there because they just want to be the leader. So welcome again to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We hope to have our guest, Professor Rabbani, with us, our show's associate partners, and Michael Hakeem.
Yes, he's with us.
So, Michael, please read the article we discussed from Imam Muhammad. We'll begin with that, and then we'll have some discussion on this, on these particulars, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. I found this article a few days ago, and I thought it would be useful. I have it here, not entering the correct Muslim image. And it reads, whatever we do as Muslims and in God's name, it reflects on our religion and it reflects on us. People will blame all of us for what some of us do. And people will think that some of us who misrepresent the religion are the image or right way to see all of us. The correct picture of all of us will be heard. We have to be careful that even in ignorance, not to do something that will spoil the image of Islam, of what is really the true Muslim picture, according to the Quran and according to the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And that concludes the comment.
Yes, yes, and you know, we was having this discussion about follow the best thereof. You know, our Imam, W.D. Muhammad, may Allah forgive him, give him paradise, and a high state in paradise. He gave us this kind of language, and it's in the Quran, follow the best thereof. We are, and I'll quote Professor Rabbani, I'm going to call you in, but I'm going to use your language that I first heard from you, that people don't read the Quran, but they read us. People don't read the Quran, but they read us. And that's a fact. That's a fact. So, Professor, please come in and share some thinking with us on this particular topic, because we've seen this to be a issue of concern.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Alaikum assalam.
From the gardening of the merciful benefactor, the mercy redeemer, we witness that there's no God worthy of worship in the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that's in between other than Allah. And we thank Allah for giving us sense to put on through his messenger and our prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and his sahabas or his helpers. And we thank Allah for Muslims in the community for God's heart to establish education by our soul. So when we looking at developing a picture of our community and ourselves, we have to be God conscious. God consciousness will hold up and give a reminder that we want the Quran, to be a temporary and important as well to show the world that this method is the way to get out of the condition, the worst condition that human beings can be in is worship something and proving that once you accept Al-Islam, or when you read and study Al-Islam, you will be able to change your soul, stand your soul up. And in this day and time that we're living in, we know that people are so petty about the identity of other human beings, calling them, black, white. And I said that every time you say black, you say in white. And every time you say white, you say in black. So your identity is not human. No one is saying human being. No one is establishing the human excellence in society, but only in language. Shaitan is having a ball with this language.
I'm aware.
It blocks rational thinking. And when, of course, we have government and business, and we have the big-time developers and investors who aid and abet this language to get the maximum return on their investments. So we have people who, when we talk about governance as Muslims, we follow the best thereof. The best thereof, whoever wants to be seeking leadership, don't let him have it, because he's seeking leadership. Follow the one and persuade the one who is always interested in doing right first, and to following the moral and the ethical life, because that's the key to leadership. And it's also, if you don't have the key to failure.
Yes. You know, I was thinking as you were thinking, and I was observing this frenzy, black, associated with the female leadership that's on the cusp of evolving. And her compadres, her associate females especially, voicing that language, black woman, and you know, and I felt the same sentiments you expressed in your opening statement, that this was harming in my wife and I. We were looking at the effects of the shaitan on this type of thinking, spearing this thinking on and diminishing from her. She has the hikmah and wisdom to be very inclusive in her language, but other people around her, they don't have a clue. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us on the topic, if you would. Follow the best thereof, you know.
Thank you. This is the challenge that we have today. As I'm looking at it from the insights of Imam Muhammad, may Allah forgive his sins and grant him paradise.
I mean,
what I'm seeing is we're moving towards a proper burial of the ideas like race and whiteness, blackness. We're moving towards a proper burial in terms of the usage. The language may stay around, but in terms of the effect of the usage, I heard Imam Muhammad say that the image of a Jesus Christ on the cross, that the church leadership has recognized that that's not a suitable image for civilized people, and that they were aware of changes that were necessary in order for Christianity to be appreciated. And I heard just recently, I think last night, a little short on YouTube, saying how Christianity may not be growing as much in America, but in the world, in Asia and Africa, Christianity is growing by leaps and bounds. And I thought about, but he also mentioned Islam, that they both were growing. But he didn't say, you know, there wasn't much to be said. And I've shared with audiences that Almighty God has put within the human being a competitive spirit. And I think we're coming closer to the awareness that unfair competitive advantage has to be done away with, and yeah. more equitable ways of competing have to be accepted. We have an example of cooperative efforts of achieving human dignity in the 500 years of Muslim leadership in Spain. And it was an environment of cooperation. It was an environment of that was established for the excellence of the three groups. There may have been even more, you know, but the three major groups in Spain were the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, who newly came into leadership after competition stirred up by leaders that was problematic for that area, you know, wars being fought. So I'll stop there. I'm a little foggy brain this morning.
Well,
I'm going to press on.
Yes, sir. Well, that we all. So, you know, while you were thinking, Mike, I was reflecting on the Prophet Muhammad's last address to humanity, where he talked about the sacredness of life, the sacredness of our property rights, the sacredness of our women as a trust. Because he was in at that time, a male-dominated society, and he was talking about he had to remind the men that the women had been given to them as a trust from God. You know, when we take a wife, it's a trust. When we choose a wife, I should say, it's a trust. And that we take that trust on before Allah and the community. And the community is a witness to that. That this is a couple. They have made this agreement and commitment and to live together, work together, et cetera, et cetera. So that we become partners. So that's a trust. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he also said that I leave you two things. And if you follow them, you will never go astray. He said, the Quran and my Sunnah, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. And we see his Sunnah as the way to live the religion, the way to live the religion. So when we look at the Prophet's example, and Allah talks about that he's an excellent model, he's an excellent example. Allah talks about that in the Quran, in the scripture, that for any whose hope has been meeting Allah in the last day, they have in the Prophet Muhammad an excellent example. So we can't push the Prophet out of the picture. He has to be there, and his excellence, his excellent model has to be followed as well. So we have those two relevant things, scripture, first scripture, and then the excellent model of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And that's our example, and he's our what you call role model. For women and men, he's the role model for both. So, Professor, share some thoughts with us on how not adhering to that creates a problem for the thinking in Islam. And we can see the problems in the world right now with all of the upheaval associated with these issues that we are talking about. Thoughts with us, if you will.
That's really the great scourge that affects the world, that the human being cannot balance material life and spiritual life. What I mean by material life is the understanding that the material life is not going to be the solution. It's only a tool. And the spiritual life is that life, and I don't mean getting the Holy Ghost spirit. I'm talking about influences such as songs and music and things that cause you to react in your sensitivities. And your sensitivities dominate your rational thinking. And the rational thinking is going to help you understand how to use your material life and balance. So one of the biggest, these are the things that the world is struggling with. But the Muslim world is engrossed in spiritual, what we call spiritualism in terms of rituals, rather than rational understanding. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, thought rational and reasoning. And that's why we have great contributions of the Muslims after the transition of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. We had great contributions all over the world by Muslims who followed a balanced, rational, and spiritual life. And that life now has been interrupted, and it's been interrupted by influences that enter the communities, Muslim communities, through the TV air through the different applications, TikTok and things like that. Now you got a challenge because now you have ideas that you have to address Islamically, and you cannot do that unless you have a rational basis to challenge them. So when we talk about understanding that al-Islam comes with rational thinking, using the intellect, and how that balances with the spiritual life, and to reinforce that ritual such as the Shahada, that there is no God but one, and that there is no other deity, and that when we have the second of prayer, remembering God, taqwa, to remember God in everything we do. When we remember God in our family life, in our business, and in our governance life, in our educational life, not giving what we call superstition to education and myth, then we become free from all of these burdens that burden the society. So these are some of the things that I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we appreciate that very much, Professor.
We have a caller.
Okay, well, let's go to our call, and then we're going to take a break. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. This on the political arena with Kamala Harris, they basically took that situation and it turned into a conversation of race and gender now.
Yeah.
I saw it.
And alhamdulillah that we have to be cautious about that, because even that kind of germ can enter into our household and divide families up. Mm-hmm. Husband and wife dealing with that situation. Well, she black and she's a woman. No, we want to deal with the issue. Of course, it's a great relief that Biden left, but the issues facing that we as Muslims need to deal with is that they are still there, and we'll find out we'll become more politically strong in our local elections and see how they fit inside of that, and we'll find out how great the power is in interfaith and going on meeting the people and find out what the community needs are, and then we'll become politically strong like that. But just watching, you know, it's not a fun and game now, you know. You know, somebody like Trump saying what he's saying, and everything black now, the women there, and, you know, so they got that thing going on. But see, that be careful, because that's the kind of stuff that goes into the household of the family and begin to break things up and separate things. So, you know, make sure that we stay focused with what Allah wants us to do, and we'll be just fine. I'm just
yes. Thank you for sharing that, Bilal. So Michael, let's take a PSA here at this point, and we'll come back and have some more discussions, and we'll take this discussion a little more. I would like to because you know I'm hearing Muslims talk about things that are they're really not tied to our faith. And I want to get Professor Rabbani's opinion about that, and yours as well. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Attorney Edward Ahmed Mitchell, Executive Director of the Georgia Chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations and host of Care on Air, the Civil Rights Hour. I'd like to speak to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities, for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your mom and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society, and that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? The public service message from the Community-Wide Share Conference and AM 360.
Excellent. Yes, thanks, Michael. Excellent PSA while we're having this type of discussion. And, Professor, talk about the perception that's created when we are representing the religion of Al-Islam without adhering to its basic and excellent principles and articles of faith, et cetera, et cetera. Share some perspective how that affects the society and how it affects the view of the religion. And we are still trying to rebound from this terrible image of what a Muslim is. And share some thinking on that with us, if you please.
Well, you know, we have the four birds. We have culture, education, governance, and business, you see, right?
Yes, sir.
That build up our life. All right, so we're as African American Muslims in our community under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we basically just came into the correct understanding of Al-Islam that was for hundreds of years dormant in the world, and if it wasn't dormant, it was hidden. You know, whatever was to be exposed was hidden and kept. So we think Al-Islam is the dress, is what costume you wear based upon your culture, where you're from, or how you behave because you have so many things you have to do before you go into the masjid, right foot, left foot, or left foot out, right foot out, and you come into the religion, and that's what you see here in really a reasonable okay. And that's where you got a problem. It's like in Christianity. You had the preachers working, you have been working on the people for generations. So you have and now, you know, for instance, my mother just passed 3 days ago, right?
Yes.
So, we had discussion. My mother and I just had discussions about the education, because she knew that education would be the key to give us the opportunities that we sought after. But with me, I had a different kind of perspective. I wasn't just interested in opportunities. I was interested in standing my soul. And that's why I was attracted to Al-Islam, not because of somebody's soul or dashiki or boo-boo beads. No. So now we see a great rush of people coming into Al-Islam, And those who are meeting him at the gates have this, almost have a pre-planned program for these new believers. And we ask Allah to protect them against any deceit. And that's why you can't get any production. That's why it's difficult to get any kind of production, because everyone is afraid that they might do something or say something that would get in accord with the Prophet, peace and blessings. So the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, a lot of times, have not been really to the Muslim world. The ability to reason, rationalize, have been kept to a small group, from my observation.
Yes.
And of course, Satan is not going to put up with that. He's going to come up with schemes, flimsy schemes, to distract a lot of the new Muslims. So
yes.
Our purpose as a community is to develop community life that can be exhibited and shown through our works. And that's why I said, you know, people don't read Quran, they read you and me, you see?
Yes, yes.
So in order to hold on to that, we want to make sure that, you know, like you said, we said before, you know, people look at how we behave, how we perform and act, and then they get a certain idea about the religious knowledge that should be adhered to.
Yeah, a picture is worth a thousand words. And you know, while we were talking about this, I was studied thinking, well, Allah says that he is the one who opens the hearts up to Islam. It's not much we can do except be that example for the younger people to see and witness. And then Allah is the one that will say, oh, this is a nice community here. And once we have these models of community life established, that's going to be the big picture that's going to speak more to the individuals than what we can say, you know. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us, if you would, please.
Yes, I'd like to go back to the Quranic verse that Imam Muhammad shared with us, to take the best thereof, to use our good senses, our intellect, to use our minds to go into the Quran and take the best example for circumstances that we're dealing with, the challenges of life. And it was several years after hearing that, because along with him sharing that, he said that we should share this with our Christian brothers and sisters. And it was maybe 3 years later, I found, you know, because I have a Holy Bible, I come up in the church. In fact, I was kind of like a propagator, you know, inviting my neighbors to come to church with me. But 2 Timothy, the second chapter, 15th verse, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In our conversation off air, I found I was reflecting that we cannot rightly divide the word of truth without God's help. Just as we cannot be selective of the Quranic guidance to help us with our issue without God's help, His guidance. You know, to be selective, to properly be selective, we need Allah's help and assistance. And lastly, And this circumstance in the political arena has really been eye-opening. You know, the stages of life that Allah tells us about, where we learn much, and then after having learned much, we decline. Not only intellectually, you know, thought-wise, but we decline physically. And the last superpower in the world, we had a representation of leadership in decline. The frail walking, the stumbling up the steps of the airplane, and the shuffling off from giving a speech. This is what the politicians call optics. And that didn't look very good in terms of the superpower. In fact, it was sending a message. Is this the best that they have?
Yeah.
And similarly, and I have to take it to us as Muslims, we have that same issue. And I have to take it to African Americans in general, whose leadership want to die in that place after 50 or 60 years of leadership. They want to die in office. It's ridiculous. But it speaks to something inside of us as human beings when we have to hold on rather than doing what nature prescribes. The logic of nature is that the strong and the dynamic, you know, they lead.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yes,
it's
sir.
Also the sunnah. It's also the sunnah. You know, when we look at the prophet, how he appointed these young leaders, young men, to lead the charge, so to speak.
That's right.
And to do that. And we have to do that. We have to find, and you know, you may have encouraged us, find those best prospective leaders and work to develop them and bring them forward. And this is something that I really value in my own experience working with the young people. You know, I'm always have young people around me, really. I don't always call them to be there. They gravitate to me because they know I respect them and want them to be successful, right? So I think that's so important. Professor, share some thoughts with us about this. You know, and Michael, as you were thinking, I was thinking about, and I mentioned this before, these old performers who be on stage, you know, the temptations and these old guys, you know, they used to have all these moves, and now they faking it, right? they're calling back all the old days, yeah. They're fat, they're bulging, stomach bulging out, you know, out the pants and stuff. And the uniform, they got the uniforms on.
And their voice has gotten weaker, so you've got a lot of this invitation for the audience to join in and sing, you know, to cover up those weak vocal cords.
Yes, sir. They're cheering on. Come on, can I get a witness? Yeah. And they never sing the whole song anymore. It just be medley, right? Share some thinking thoughts with us on this topic of discussion, following the best thereof, right? Yes, sir.
I can move to the moves. I'm ashamed.
You're breaking up all of a sudden, Professor.
You might have moved out from where you were.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Keep talking for us to know.
I was saying that I feel shameful when I see him on TV. I have to turn it off. Turn it to another channel because it hurts to see trying to relive that.
You're still breaking up, Professor. You're still breaking up, and we're missing a lot. Maybe you might have to talk a little slower and maybe slow down a little bit. Maybe that might help. But you were in a good position before. I don't know if you moved or not. But sometimes those signals them and they come and go, right? Usually if you buy a window or something, you can get a better signal depending on where that satellite is in your area. Yes. So continue. Let us see if you are.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you got to put together some sentences for us to really tell. I could hear you clear.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, the problem
yeah, I was hearing you
that.
So go ahead, Michael, what you said?
I was saying the problem wasn't hearing
now?
Him. It was that he was breaking up. You go ahead. Just put some sentences together.
Okay. I was saying that we have obligation. We don't have to. We can get old physically, but our minds and our creativity can be renewed. It's a growing, that grows. It's an ongoing growth. So we don't have to try to go back to our babyhood, our child when we're 6 years old, and perform. No, we can continue to add on as Paul said, put the edifice upon edifice. You know, building block upon building block. You don't go back to what we're trying to do with talking in tongues. Talking in tongues, the person that does talking in tongues don't even know what they're talking about. So you have a situation where you have to build your knowledge because it's new, even for the youth. When they see the knowledge that you have, that's what attracts them. That's why a lot of people, children, won't go back to church because they're hearing something that was taught maybe 12 centuries ago. So the newness is the Quran and the life of the practice of Muhammad the Prophet. That's new. Morals are new. Ethics are new. And how you live in your life.
Yes. So you kind of dropped, Professor. You really blanked out. You really blanked out that time. Unless you stopped. Yeah. But we heard you that morals and life is new. Yes.
Yes. Morals and ethics. This is new. For people that have heard and apply. And we have the solution that Quran and the life of Muhammad Prophet has been given upon us. That you to apply in government, in business, in education.
Yes.
And all that's what I was referring to.
Yes, sir. You know, alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing, Professor. You know, Michael, I was thinking about perception and I was also looking at this campaign that we are doing on education as a sacred matter. You know, Ronald B. Shaheed revised his book, added a chapter. I still haven't read that chapter that he added. I'm not sure about what it is, but where he talks about education as a sacred matter. And we were, as I mentioned, was putting on this T-shirt campaign where we have education as a sacred matter. And we are looking at putting this in this idea of education and themes from that book on T-shirts in our community where the imam has addressed these particulars about education, that the freshness that the imam has brought to that topic. That hasn't been given voice in our community life. So we want to highlight those types of ideas about education that's different to increase the dawah, to increase the cultural consciousness, and also to look at how economics can be generated from that activity, some way to fund it, to keep it moving. So, I wanted to bring that in just because I want us to be aware that we have language that invigorates, revives the thinking, education a sacred matter. And, you know, where we see deterioration in the value for education and with our attempts to diminish the importance of specific focus for education, we have to address that with clear a voice of El Islam, create that perception, bring that right perception into the society. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us. And do we have any callers in the queue?
Not at this time. Yes, this is very issue very close to me because when I lived in Birmingham, I worked with community activists that were concerned about the educational environment. We had a situation, this comes to my mind first, we had a situation where the gang culture was coming into Birmingham. And the superintendent and other school officials were given an orientation. They were given a report on the gang culture but it didn't filter down to the parents to give them a heads up in terms of what to look for. And it was very selfish, you know, and unproductive. And God rest his soul, Roy Wood Jr.'s father, I had a relationship with him. He had a program on WAGG radio, and he invited me to come on to talk about this. And I was brought to him. He was the communications director of Miles College, and one of our members took me to him, and I'll never forget this. You know, for years he had this syndicated program across the country called One Black Man's Opinion. But when I told him, when I told Mr. Roy Wood Sr. about what Imam Muhammad said about black, and that there was no real substance to that word in terms of us identifying ourselves as black, that there was no black land, you know, that what black says about us is insufficient. He accepted it right there on the spot, you know, and I think that's what attracted him to me. And he would invite me on regularly to come on the program with different issues. And this is something that we have to have. I was so disappointed in the political leadership in Birmingham. Like I said, the superintendent, we've got a brand new progressive superintendent, and he was caught finagling with someone. He was in an affair with a woman, and that undermined his leadership, and he had to be fired. You know, next one that came in, they were very self-absorbed, and it was more about paying the vendors, paying the people that were making money off the school system, than proper education for the children. And this still goes on, not just in Birmingham, but this goes on. The educational system is more of a social conditioning than it is inviting the young people to think critically, to think independently, you know. We have less of that and more social conditioning. And I'll stop there. We do have a recall.
Yes, follow the best thereof. I think it's such a relevant perspective for moving forward in life. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. This is something I'd like to share. Praise be to Allah. Children starving in America. What are we doing with our intelligentsia? Their lives are precious. We must be morally courageous. Our ancestors did their job. Our imam said we can't stop. Our majid, too many gray hairs. Allow our youth to do their share. Be fair if we really care. They need to improve on our legacy. Too many denials in our community. Are we blind and can't see? Too much focus on you and me. I'm 73, still living in poverty. We need them to benefit from technology. We having trouble just using the cell phone. God didn't leave us alone. Dementia is a reality. Help from our youth is something we must seek. Trying to make things clear. Our vision is weak. It could disappear. We are up in our years. This could happen to us. We aren't that tough. We don't gamble. We don't believe in luck. Our knowledge is a trust. So, you know, let me tell you something. Here in New Orleans, I found out during the summer, right, that the people have to have programs available where young people can go eat. They have been in school the regular, you know, at regular time and section. So they have to give their, actually have to put money on these food stamp cards that they have. So,
yeah.
So to provide more food for the children to eat. So there's something very serious going on here in America,
yeah.
You know. So I got to say, well, something, okay. If you thank Allah for the food banks that we got, I mean, you know, we need more. So alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Bilal. Walaikum assalam.
So, Professor,
let's take a break. Let's take a break. And Michael and you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected, your voice is protected. We are talking about following the best thereof and the perception of language and the use of language to create the right perceptions. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Amina Ali, your host for The Birth of Women, inviting you to a special AM 360 featured presentation. CWSD Founders Day, August 26th, honoring the twin servants of peace. CWSD has issued a proclamation declaring August 26th as CWSD Founders Day to be celebrated annually. This official commemoration was established to honor the life, contributions, and legacy of CWSD and AM 360 founder, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. Please join hosts Martha Nyla Abdullah and a very special guest, the co-founder and CEO Emeritus for AM 360, Dr. Aisha Kareem, and other leaders and hosts in the AM 360 studio live on air at am360.org, okay, August 26th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Revisit the roots of a national intelligentsia with those that were there who knew and worked with the twin servant of peace as he sacrificed until his final days serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his community by establishing both a national broadcasting network and national intelligentsia, connecting our hearts, intellects, and our work. So join us. That's August 26, 2019 at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You will be inspired. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're back. We're back. That public service announcement is dated, as you probably heard. But we want to remember this is the month of acknowledging the founder, Dr. Aisha Kareem, and her husband, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam.
Yes, the twin servant of peace. What a wonderful title. Yes, appreciate that, Michael. How's our time?
We've got about 30 minutes. Well, 29 minutes.
All right. So, Professor, please chime in with us and speak on this. Continue. If we want to continue on this topic, or if you have anything relevant you want to share, please do that, because we've hit into the political arena and how language affects the thinking in the political arena. We've talked about education, a sacred matter, having the proper perspective for education and the perception of language. And let me state this verse from the Quran, where Allah says to the believer, "O you who believe, please say those things which are best, for Satan wishes to sow discord among you." Satan wishes to get you to arguing and disputing with each other. So say those things which are best. Inviting us to use the hikmah, the wisdom. Again, it's a verse in the Quran, and argue with those who disbelieve with hikmah, with wisdom and beautiful teaching. Be courteous and gracious when you're disagreeing with people concerning the religion. And Allah says, perhaps you may provoke them, and I'm paraphrasing this ayat, perhaps you may provoke them to say something bad about Allah and the religion of Islam. So when we criticize others, we have to be very careful to do it in a way that is gracious and with wisdom. You know, we don't just throw it out there, you know, throw out criticizing the people the way they worship versus the way we worship, doing a comparison in religion. No, we don't want to provoke people to blaspheme, as the term they use, in other words, to say something bad about Allah because of our neglect to be courteous and generous in the way we address others. So, Professor, share some thinking thoughts with us, please.
Yes, most of us come from the same religious culture as most people, and our particular concern was to give them another look at, or another perspective on the religion that we came from, you know, in terms of interpretation,
mm-hmm.
you know. These things, besides, you know, like for instance, the Ten Commandments. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, we're talking about the God, the images, and these are things that we are taught in Al-Islam, you know, not to, you know, put images in the prayer, in the masalas and the masjid throughout our community.
Yeah.
Why? Because in the second commandment, in the given to Moses, was thou shalt not have any graven images. And
yeah.
And the thing about that is to show that people begin to have false super egos because the images look like them. And he factors that are causing many of the politicians to come up with various different systems to degrade one group over another group. This, I think it's called GEI, something of that nature.
Yeah.
Michael, was it GEI?
EDI.
Yes.
EDI.
EDI.
Yeah, diversity and inclusion. EDI.
Yeah, oh, GI. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay,
yeah.
So now I just wanted to put bring that out. So that people, well, why would you want to why would you want to emphasize that? Because you want to have one group think that another group do not have the intellectual capacity to be in the leadership position. You see, so they use that, and then they want to do away with the history of the American history in America. And I'm looking at all of the contributions that just coming out of slavery, the inventors, those who are builders, those who have built the Capitol. You can't build monumental buildings like that without having any scientific and mathematical knowledge. You can't light or film stay on, and then for that person to feel it from you, and then for themselves. So this whole idea about people giving African American opportunity, because here's me who was on the verge of becoming the next president of the United States, Kamala. Give a degree in law, has been governor or senator, I should say, has been shown excellent as a district attorney. So these are positions that require knowledge and the application of that knowledge. It's just not knowledge; it's wisdom too, because she had the ability to make judgments. And all of those opportunities have been given, not been given, but have been earned by people who might not have deserved it. But you can see all of these different engineers and architects, and I was thinking about myself when they talking about that. I always tell them just go to 2555 Clark Street, and you'll see what came out of my mind that, out of my head and was manifested in a physical building, 19 stories. So these are some things that, people, because they want to feel as if they've always cared for us and gave us things, like in the days of slavery, of chattel slavery. So we don't have to feel bad about our ability to achieve. We have many, many achievements in every field of life. And it has affected the world, not just America, but the whole world has benefited from the thinking and the work and the intellectual development of African Americans who have come out of chattel slavery and Jim Crow.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am DeLacy? Well, I'm going to, there's something that's happened. His mic is open, but we can't hear it. I'll
yes,
just say
ahead.
This.
So
okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead. My apologies.
Yeah, I'll say this. Chattel slavery. And this is what I love about the leadership of Imam Wesley Muhammad. Chattel slavery was an extremely, extremely, extremely challenging circumstance. But our African-American men and women of that time, they survived. And because of survival, it put something in them. It put something in our group that is very special. And Imam Muhammad talked of it in terms of us going through something as a group to be prepared to help the larger group of humanity. And this is the powerful intellect that Allah has given him to help us as a group. You know,
yes.
You have to be a powerful social thinker you have to be a powerful, sociological thinker, understanding the history and how God, you know, God tells us in Scripture how he has moved the human family forward, and it's going somewhere.
Yes.
And the Imam expresses that, Imam Muhammad expresses that, you know, this is not something for us to have doom and gloom about or
yeah.
feel like victim. No, the Creator was over this process, and
yeah.
not necessarily the many, but a sufficient number of us have taken on qualities. I'm going to conclude with Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass accepted the help of well-meaning Caucasians in the abolitionist movement, but he also spoke to them and the group in terms of the behavior of the group of Caucasians who was holding mastery over our people. And he said that he called their behavior shameful. Your behavior would shame a nation of savages.
Yeah.
And really, there was something in that comment, because the behavior was showing a savagery in the group at that time.
Yes.
But he was very diplomatic in the way he presented it. But the savage behavior that he was speaking of then, and the 100 years of lynching to keep us in our place that came after, you know, it showed that that group of Europeans had not evolved as a group into true humanity.
Yeah. You know, Michael, appreciate that very much. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the Imam's little small booklet he did, The Dynamic African-American Spirit, And, you know, and I was thinking about such language in this frenzy of black, would be more descriptive of what we are trying to relate, that from the experiences, the history you just shared, and the ordeals that we went through has shaped us a dynamic spirit. And that's what we are looking at, really manifesting itself in real time. It's that desire to value what we have experienced and where we've come from and what we have achieved, and rather than giving it a color, black, it should be the dynamic spirit that God has fostered and developed for us to help the world become better. Professor, share some thoughts with us, if you will.
And we do have a reason.
Well, that was
Go ahead, Professor, please. We're going to go to our caller.
I was just going to say that. That was very well put. Because the will of Allah is going to outweigh any scheme that mankind wishes to implement, if it's not based upon the moral and the upright nature of the human life, and that's the thing that we are trying to drive to people to look at the great things and the great knowledge that the human life has been evolved. You started out as a fish swimming in fluid, and many of them, we were all competing to get to the destiny.
Yes.
And those who had the inevitable spirit to keep going to reach the destiny are now walking with two legs and a head, intelligent, a heart to continue with that same. We're still swimming.
Yeah, that struggle. struggle trying to get to that.
That's right,
pounce of abundance. Let's go to our caller, Professor. Thank you for that model. What a wonderful picture. See, and this is how nature teaches you, right? This is how nature teaches you. So, Michael, bring our caller in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
this would be loud. We look at, see, but what happened, entertainment culture had taken over the full birds. Even in election, you see Kamala, she got this rapper young lady on there doing her thing, shaking and everything. Then Trump, he got this country boy, he rapping, everything. You know, it's just that the entertainment culture really just took over the whole environment, all the four birds. No matter where you look at, they got it. There's something that wrote I like to share though. Let me see here. I'm gonna do a half of this. I can't do the whole thing, but here we go. God consciousness best, lacking too much mess, upset another test, the foolishness of rest. High and go see, drug addiction, no peace, mind absent without need. Daddy do right, won't fight, a car not a motorbike, no insight on life. Hot fun in the summertime, crack cocaine, losing your mind, ecstasy, a lot of misery. Spent the rent money, family living in the street, a lost community. Our ancestors, we salute them, serious racial problems. They suffer much, our people out of touch. Humanity needs reality, more honesty, love one another, be truth lovers. Time out for pity, stop acting silly, a very cold city. Clarity of mind, they out of line. Drug pushing, too many onlookers, selling debt, overdose, nothing left. How can we accept? What's up? Who can you trust? Weak, not tough. Fentanyl, just put them in jail, people dying. This year be frying. Electric chair sounds fair. Who really cares? Officer of the law, security guard, don't shake at the mall. Politician missing in action. Secure our neighborhood. No more stop looking, listen. Hopefully we not being misunderstood. Call Jack, you're disrespecting other people, irresponsible. Show what you know. Talk is cheap. Don't accept defeat. Be on our own. Let's remain strong. Taking picture on the phone. Something wrong. Stuck on stupid. Like I love Lucy. Crime is not funny. An influencer trying to make money. How are you? What can we do? It's a shame. Life is in a game. On the internet seeking glory and fame. They must be insane. Artificial intelligence. An enemy, not a friend. Glorifying corruption and sin. Computer system, more problem, man-made, not safe, or the faith. New Frankenstein, creating sick minds. Our children becoming robots. Mental illness. Tick-tock, must be stopped. Hip-hop, clean up or stop. Gangster rap, indeed a trap. Satan giving them a roadmap to hell. Time will tell a sick story about money, fame, and glory. Assalamu alaikum.
Michael, share some comments with you, then we'll circle back to Professor Shaw.
Well, I want to say that I believe there's a town hall meeting this afternoon. Sister Martha Nyla is in the audience, town hall meeting. If she would share with us what is to take place this evening, I think it would be beneficial for all of us listening.
While we're waiting for her to come in, we're going to circle to the professor. Let me know when you come in, Michael.
Her mic is open. Yes, her mic is open.
Sister Nyla, you there? Or you're on mute?
Maybe.
Professor, share some thoughts with us, please, and while we're waiting on Sister Nyla, we'll circle back, Mike.
Okay.
Let's make use of these 10 minutes. Professor, Please share some thoughts with us. Maybe final thoughts.
Okay, I'm happy to have had a mother to have looked at and understood that education would be the key to the to the success of the family as well as my father, and in our family, all of us have strived hard to get the best education we could have achieved. And, of course, I had a different approach. Brothers and sisters had a bit, they went through the straight situation of going to school and getting their degrees. But I was just all a child that had different thoughts and different aspects. And then I realized that the mother, we derive many benefits from mother: education, culture, act in public, knew how to understand government in reference to how people will treat you and what those people were thinking about you, how to respond to it. So these are the things. When I say community, that's why it's important to have community life, because community life will can dispel a lot of the things, the corruption, the schemes, the flimsy tongue. When you know that they can't come up with anything strong. It's flimsy. They cannot do that. And I implore everyone who's listening to register to vote, and to register to vote with the person that has the highest moral standards, the highest ethical standards, no matter what they look like, no matter what they say they can do and what they can't do. Not interested in that. Look at their moral life and their ethical life and see who is best suited to lead you in any kind of capacity.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that, Professor. I'm gonna try to look up some of those words you mentioned about occasion and post it on my Education Sacred Matter page about your mother and the understanding how important education was to get you all to the best life, best possibilities in life. Appreciate that comment from you as well. So, Michael, please, did Sister Nala?
Her mic is still open, but we've got Imam Kareem with his hand up. And
just bring him in.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. You know, the best education is to educate as to what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
What is moral and what is immoral. Everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people have jumped on the Kamala Harris bandwagon. I understand their enthusiasm, but I utilize the moral principles. And for me, the jury is still out on Kamala Harris.
Yes.
If I want to hear her full-throatedly call for a ceasefire and an end to supplying weapons to the state of Israel,
yeah,
that is what I'm waiting to hear from her.
Yeah.
That will decide.
You won't hear that
till
she's in authority to do it. You won't hear that till she's in authority to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if she have the courage to do it. I think looking at her preliminary statements, you know. And then I'm also watching to see her choice for vice president, too. Go ahead.
We've got 4 minutes.
Go ahead, Kareem. Go ahead, please. Kareem, go ahead. Can you hear me?
We can't hear you. We can't hear you. You know, Kareem.
Oh.
His mic is open, but we're not hearing him.
Yeah, okay. But my call dropped, unfortunately.
Yeah, now we hear you.
Okay.
So,
yes, sir.
Go ahead. Share with us about the upcoming event, too, this evening. Is it this evening Sister Nala has a program?
Well,
it's a town hall meeting dealing with culture at 7 o'clock this evening, Eastern Standard.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And Imam Kareem, if you will, we've got someone that would like to make a comment. And if I could bring them in, please.
Yeah, sir.
Okay.
I think I made my point.
You
thank
did.
You.
Yes,
you
sir.
Did. We appreciate it. We appreciate it, Imam.
Thank you.
Shabra.
972, state your name and where you're calling from. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yes, real quickly. It's about Fatima, Dallas, Texas. And I agree
Welcome.
With Imam Kareem. Thank you. And just real quickly, I want to talk about legacies that presidents leave behind. And most of the time, a lame duck president, they got 2 years to kind of, you know, kind of decide what's going to be their legacy.
Yeah.
And I remember Obama getting Biden because of his foreign policy, the way he worked with foreign policy. So I'm hoping that between Biden and Kamala that he uses his foreign policy to go ahead and do a ceasefire. And like I said, he's a lame duck president, so he should be able to do things. And I pray that that's his legacy to end in this massacre that's going on. And I'll stop
otherwise,
there.
Otherwise, I'm going to join in calling him Genocide Joe. You know?
Exactly.
I'll be one to definitely remember him as such. Yes. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us.
Yes, sir. We've got about a minute, and I think we need to seek Allah's help. These are very challenging times, and I remember a member of the Nation of Islam, a senior brother Omar in Birmingham, and he was an independent thinker. We in the Nation of Islam were not voting. He said, "Well, brother, I voted." He said, and when I voted for the lesser of the two evils, the smaller snake other than the bigger snake.
Yeah, figured you could deal with the smaller bite. Go ahead, Michael. Close it out. Professor, thank you, and our condolences to you and your family, the loss of your mother, 104
yes.
years you had her with you.
A long way, Father.
And, what a wonderful treat and what a wonderful experience for you and the family, and our condolences and best wishes that Allah make it easy for you and the family. Yes.
Yes.
I mean,
we pray Allah, oh Allah, make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey.
I mean. Thank you. Peace and blessings, everyone.